So Craig Comrie, Chief Executive at ProfMed, someone asked me a question today on a call and I said I'd pass the buck to you. And the question was, are we headed to a COVID vaccine disaster in South Africa? What do you think?
Thanks, Bruce. I thought us fellow accountants know everything, so I'm surprised you handing that to me, but I'll give you my opinion. Certainly, if we don't speed up the rollout of the vaccines, we are headed to not only just this high and peak in the third wave, but we will see a fourth and a fifth wave also coming. So we have to get things together and we have to get the vaccine out as soon as possible.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, people were saying, oh, no, the third wave won't be as bad as the second wave. The second wave was worse than the first. But now, I mean, so many people have had COVID-19 in South Africa that surely the third wave can't be worse. And just in eyewitness news now, very strong sort of views that the third wave is headed to be considerably more severe than either the first or the second.
Yeah, there's no doubt the numbers show that the third wave is going to be even worse than the second wave. And so we are expecting, I guess the next 2 weeks will tell, but I think we're probably in the peak of the third wave over the next 2 or 3 days.
Well, we certainly hope so. And the criticism of government that it was too late to implement the restrictions that it has, and they're quite light restrictions, that it could have done it a couple of weeks ago. Is that fair criticism?
I guess what you're looking for is always to see what the data is indicating. By the time the data indicates you're on the negative side of a peak in infection rates, we should have already had those measures and lockdown measures strengthened. So I think the problem is we're too reactive in terms of this and not as proactive. But in terms of just the restrictions, the vaccine rollout would have saved us some of the lockdown that we're experiencing. And certainly it would have saved us the lives that we lose in and some valuable lives, as if every life is not valuable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this time it just is so much more personal than in the first and second waves. I mean, I knew one or two people in the first wave. I knew more in the second wave. And if one or two people I knew died of COVID-19. But suddenly, my goodness gracious me, friends of friends are talking about people that we know. And it's just, there's a lot of it going on. And then you have somebody like Alex Granger last week, well known of the public speaking circuit. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jabu Mabuza in the last 24 hours as well. And you go, hold on a second, this does, anecdotally anyway, just feel that much bigger and closer.
It does feel that way. I was just listening to your interview, and how do you replace the experience and the statement of never get too rich and forget where you come from? How do you replace that experience and that type of person who's done so much in the country?
Yeah, just huge. And he was nice. You know what I mean? There are lots of really smart people, but that nice, and he was just a lovely guy, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why you feel it, I think, harder. Now, talk to me about how we sort of snatch victory from the jaws of defeat in terms of this COVID, in terms of this vaccine rollout, because there've been some restrictions that are beyond our control. We couldn't have done anything about J&J. It is a very useful vaccine, but there were some contaminants, and they had to go through that process. Stephen Saad on the radio earlier this week, sounding very, very positive about, the ability to play catch up. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what needs to happen next?
Yeah, that is a leadership lesson. I think we're too slow to correct where we come across the obstacles. And I think if that's one thing we need to learn, is that we can't keep on holding onto one supplier of vaccines. We need to actually be considering the Sputniks, the Sinopharm, all the options that we have, and don't narrow it down to an AstraZeneca or even a J&J. It might come back to bite you. I think that's the one thing that we haven't had a plan B that could kick in quick enough. And so to recover is going to be quite difficult, but we've seen some early signals of good recoveries. We hear of the president stepping in and opening up the walk-in processes and public facilities. I think that's all a positive space in terms of trying to speed up the number of points that people can access vaccines. And the one thing we still don't have a complete handle on is the supply. So we do have Stephen's commitment in terms of recovering the 2 million vaccines, but we need far more to be in the arms of people in the next few weeks so that we can avoid the fourth wave.
And it is so important that we get that done. From your perspective, from a ProfMed perspective, How are you tackling the issues of shortages, the issues of delays, the issues of access?
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. That's always a difficult question. I think as an industry, we're working together to put on as many vaccine sites as we can. In the ProfMed context, and while we have a focus on the over 60-year-olds, we've put a team together that actually makes sure we call in each member over 60, each beneficiary over 60, making sure that they are registered on the EVDS program and making sure that they can actually make it to the sites or their nearest site to get the vaccine. What is interesting is we're getting some feedback in terms of typically some that don't want the vaccine at all. Still, there's about 3 or 7% of them. And then others that just can't make it due to age and other frailties, can't make it out of home to get the vaccines. And so we're having to put on other processes to make sure we partner with some of the providers to actually get vaccines to them in their homes. So our focus has definitely been those that need it most. And out of the deaths that we've seen on the scheme, 95% of those above 60. And so that's where our focus has to be now.
Craig Comrie, thank you very much indeed. Chief Executive at ProfMed.